Good morning, mic check. Are you able to hear me this morning? Awesome. Good morning and welcome. Thank you, Lynn. And welcome, everybody, to our weekly Sunday gathering. Today is September 4th, our first gathering of September. And now is the time where we're going to greet one another in the sanctuary. Here in Tampa, the sun has returned after a bout with Hurricane Hermine, but it is absolutely beautiful and sunny here today. So I'll ask Lynn to play our opening song while we greet one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, yes, welcome. Welcome to the sanctuary. It is good to see everybody here today. This is also one of my favorite times of the week to be able to get together and share with one another. So truly a blessing to be here sharing with you all today. So let's look today at our statement of purpose, first of all. We are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self, within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. So that is our statement of purpose for awakening together. And next step, we have our announcements for this week. And we do have a lot of announcements here, so hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All right. First up, we have a new three-week mini-series, which starts tonight in the sanctuary at 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's called Awakening to Heaven with Craig Villarubia. Here's the description of that mini-series. Why wait for heaven? It is here today and awaiting only your awareness of it. Listen in on this three-part series as we learn to awaken to mind's natural ability to experience beyond the physical world and into the reality of heaven now. In this course, we'll explore the thought system that filters out the recognition and experience of heaven. Learn simple practices and exercises that dissolve the veil to our inheritance to perfect peace. We'll embark on a meditative discussion on metaphysics and the non-dual teachings of ACIM. Together, we'll journey into definition awareness, where our true identity is revealed. Our aim is to expose, weaken, and undo all that fogs and distorts the experiential presence of holiness. All right, so that's a description of the mini-series that will be starting tonight, and I'm looking forward to welcoming Craig Villarubia to Awakening Together, and it looks like we will be he will be discussing some really things there that are in line with what our values are here at Awakening Together. So the next announcement for this week is we will begin our first full week of our new schedule. There are lots of new programs and new speakers on the schedule. We encourage you to come into the sanctuary and discover which programs and speakers interest you. You'll find the new schedule at our website under Sanctuary, Sanctuary Programs. Also, we've made some changes to the website. There are new pages under the Sanctuary menu, and we have an all-new audios menu where you'll be able to listen to the weekly gatherings, highlighted sanctuary programs, and featured talks, satsang audios, mini-series audios, and more. Things have been changing, so please check out our website and come into the sanctuary whenever we are open to find out what's new. And the next announcement for this week is this is September, and our fall retreat is in October. Yes, it's almost here. And there is still an opportunity to register and get a discount. If you register for all three retreats, you will get a discount on the price. As you know, our retreat leaders are Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. This year, Regina will offer a retreat that is more focused on practice than theory. Although some theory will be presented in order to help understand the impact of practice, throughout the week, Regina will offer workshops and practice periods focused on meditation, contemplation, journaling, inquiry techniques, mind watching, and awareness. Regina is very interested in helping everyone who attends this retreat to do several things, and here's a list of some of the things Regina will be hoping to help with during our retreat. To see their ego more clearly so they can transcend it more often, to learn skills that will help them uncover more ego beliefs and habits, to have realizations that move the teaching from the realm of intellect to direct experience, one of my favorites there. Discover how each practice is an important part of the undoing and the realization process. Answer questions that participants need answered in order to get to the next step. And lastly, to realize how loved they are so they can feel safe as they continue the awakening process. Okay, I think I'm going to change my mind on that one. I think the last one here is actually going to be my favorite, to realize how loved you are. All right, so this retreat begins at 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 23rd, with dinner at the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and ends with lunch at noon on Thursday, October 27th. Regina's retreat is followed by Brent Haskell's retreat on Friday, October 28th, and John Mark Stroud's retreat over the weekend. And again, you get a discount when you sign up for all three retreats. So to learn more, go to theawakening-together.org and click on the events menu there. Okay, so that concludes our announcements for today. And we do have just one other special announcement that Regina would like to make this morning. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Regina.
Hi, everyone. First of all, I want to say giggle, giggle to what Kathy has written on the board. She wrote Dear Me, but she spelt it D-E-E-R, and that's because there are lots and lots of deer at the Franciscan Retreat Center. I mean, it's just amazing, and they just hang around, and so everybody who's been there knows that joke, but it is a lovely, lovely place. And if you haven't been there, if you're coming to the fall retreat this year, I'm absolutely certain that you will enjoy that location and those deer. But the reason that I wanted to take the mic is because I have an announcement. The announcement is the board of directors has hired a new sanctuary director. Yesterday, Ken Gibson, who is here now, Reverend Ken Gibson, he's an Awakening Together minister, was offered the job of sanctuary director, and he accepted. So congratulations, Ken. I will say this is not going to be immediate, and the reason it's not immediate is that Ken lives in California, and right now Awakening Together has not yet got the authorization to have a California employee. So starting Tuesday, once the three-day weekend is over, I'll start working with California and going through whatever process is necessary to have a California employee. Sometimes, depending on the state, that process can be quick or that process can be, you know, a little slower. So we'll see how long it takes. But once we are authorized to have a California employee, then we will go ahead and complete this hiring process. In the meantime, Ken has offered to start training with Lynn as the sanctuary director on a volunteer basis. So you'll see Ken around doing that. We are still looking for an assistant sanctuary director. We have a couple of applications, but that job is still open. So if anybody else feels called to that, you know, go ahead and apply. We probably won't continue the interview process on that position until I get back from Ireland. I am leaving for Ireland on Thursday of this week, and I won't be back until September 22nd. So there'll be a little bit of a lull there where no interviewing is happening, but we'll get started on that again when I get back. So that's it. That's my announcement. Again, congratulations, Ken. And I'm hoping to get together with Ken and Lynn on Tuesday so we can start talking about next steps and how to get Ken trained. All right, Gloria, the mic is yours. Thank you.
Yay! Awesome. Welcome, Ken, Reverend Ken, our new sanctuary director. That is great news that we are, and everyone is also congratulating Ken in the room here. And I do see where Ken is saying thank you to everybody. So that's a great way to start our gathering off today. So right now I am going to turn the mic back over to Lynn for our opening song, and then I will rejoin you with prayer afterwards. All right, and if you'll join me now for prayer. We come today into this space, into this open, loving space, joining, recognizing that there is only one power. I am here to be only to be helpful, to represent Him who sent me. I'm grateful today for the appointment of Reverend Ken. We bless him. We bless his union, his willingness to step forward and to serve Awakening Together in the spirit of oneness. We give thanks today for that. I also give thanks for the people, the beloveds who are always willing to be here, to be now, to accept, to receive, to open, and to offer their energy for this gathering. It is truly a blessed time for all of us, and I'm grateful for that, and so it is, and so I let it be. Amen. All right, so now it is time for a reading by one of our members, Kathy Smith. She will be reading for us today from You Are That by Gangaji, and then I will rejoin us after she's done reading. Kathy, the mic is yours.
Thanks, Reverend Gloria. First, I want to say congratulations to Ken as well. You said it much more eloquently, Reverend Gloria. My thought was, wow, Ken has stepped into it. And I'm so glad you stepped into it. Thank you for that service for our sanctuary home. So, okay, I am going to go right to the reading from Gangaji entitled, it's from You Are That. People first come to the spiritual search from an egocentric idea of what will be attained. The beginning of the spiritual search is the positive aspect of ego. I'm tired of suffering. I want to be happy. I hear happiness is the spiritual goal. The thought, I want to be happy, comes from a developed ego, a functioning, integrated ego. With courage and guidance, there arises the resolve to turn away from the forces that support ignorance and turn toward the forces that support enlightenment. All of this is immeasurably important. The concept of enlightenment comes from the recognition or the insight, my God, I've been living in ignorance. I want to leave ignorance. This recognition is an evolutionary point in a life stream. The search for enlightenment takes innumerable forms. Perhaps first is the attempt to follow the codes and practices of religion. usually next, is the attempt to throw off the code of religion and live by a personal code. There may be superficial hope that in dressing or acting as the Buddhists or Hindus or Sufis dress and act, some of their attainment will transfer. However you have tried to get enlightenment, you have continually come to what appears to be a dead end. At this end, rather than experience the true end, you usually begin the search anew with a different code or religion, or a rebellion to all codes and religions. You cannot find true happiness by doing anything. You can experience moments of happiness, certainly. But to recognize you are that which is happiness, you must abandon all vehicles. The end must be experienced. Everything must be given up. What a surprise to realize that real happiness requires releasing everything. To receive ultimate attainment, finally, you must stop trying to get anything. The idea of you must end. When you give up the idea of enlightenment, you realize what the idea of enlightenment points to. If you can see that what you thought you wanted has not given you what it is you really want, then you are ready. You are mature. Maturity has little to do with age or education or spiritual practice. Maturity reflects ruthless intelligence in telling the truth. The truth is that no matter how much you have enjoyed your relations and circumstances, those things have not given you lasting fulfillment. This recognition is a rude awakening, a disillusionment. Until disillusionment occurs, you wander through life in a trance-like state, attempting to grasp the things you want, and reject the things you don't want in the hope of receiving happiness. Through disillusionment and ruthless truth-telling, you can actually discover what you really want. If, by luck, what you really want is eternal truth, then have the courage to stop looking in anything for eternal truth. Whether your search is in worldly things, philosophical things, or spiritual things, simply stop looking. When you stop looking, you can discover eternal truth. It takes less than an instant. You are very lucky if you have the desire for truth, but in your search for truth, what is searched for is an image or an idea or a concept based on what you've been taught, what you read somewhere, what you imagine to be so, or what you remember from some glimpse in the past. These are all mental things. They may be beautiful things, but even the subtlest mental concepts are still things. The great gift offered by my master, Sri Punjaji, and by his master, Sri Ramana Maharshi, is the instruction to be still. To not look to the mind as the reference point of who you are. What can be said about what is, what can be said about what is revealed in stillness? Much has been said that points to it. Nothing has been said that can touch true revelation. Words such as infinity, eternity, grace, self, truth, God, all point to that which is revealed in absolute stillness. Yet if the moment is conceived as something, then revelation also points away from truth. That which you are is untouched by any idea of ignorance or enlightenment. While the concept of enlightenment points to freedom and the truth of your being, if you cling to the concept, you overlook what was present before you ever heard the word. You overlook what is present when your body is in the deepest sleep state. You overlook what remains when your body is long gone. There comes an instant when, by some miraculous, mysterious grace, you are struck dumb of all words, all concepts, all searching, all striving, all identification. In that moment, an instant out of time, you realize that who you really are has never been touched by any concept. This very instant of realization is, in fact, what the concept of enlightenment points to. And that is the end of our reading, and I will release the mic.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Kathy, for reading that You Are That, that excerpt from You Are That by Gangaji. I want to say before we get into the sharing for today that Karen Worth shared a lovely meditation prior to our gathering today. And I'm really grateful for that time that I was able to really sit and be centered and enjoy that meditation. That was really helpful because that is the point where I'm able to really get and empty myself to a degree that allows Holy Spirit to order my thoughts, my words, the sharings, the contemplations that I've done prior to this session today. So I just wanted to say thank you for to Karen for providing that meditation in the morning. Now let's look here at one of our core values before I get started. One of our core values that I hope that this sharing will point to is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. Okay, so I want to start out by saying that the reading that Kathy just shared was not the original reading that was scheduled for this gathering today. The original reading was Death of Knowing, Death to Knowing by Chris Celine, which thank you to Barb for transcribing that audio from Chris Celine and to Regina for posting that on our website. What happened when I contemplated that Death to Knowing, and the reason why I wanted to share on that is because in reading and contemplating that particular sharing, and anyone who hasn't read that, it's a really good article, and it's posted in Awakening Together on our website under the blogs. So you're welcome to go out and enjoy that reading. But when I read that reading, I had a shift in my being in terms of how I go about preparing to come forward and to speak and to share. For me, I am, in during the day on my day job, I do a lot of training on my day job. I work in a corporate atmosphere and I do a lot of training, so part of the reason why I'm successful in that role is because I'm very organized. I take the time to make sure that, you know, notes are in order and, you know, everything is lined up perfectly so that when I teach, when I'm training, that information comes across crystal clear, that the people are able to understand what I'm saying. I said that because that trait, that characteristic also rolls off into my preparations when I'm preparing for to speak here. That level of preparedness carries over. And what I realized when I was, and I do also want to state that in terms of getting ready, the what is to be read, all of that comes in to me intuitively. This reading that we just, that Kathy just read, Gangaji, I was intuitively led to that reading, because if you've read Death to Knowing, those readings are very similar. It wasn't that I was to bring forth the Death to Knowing, it was that I was to learn from that reading, and the other reading was given, which is in line with the title of today's talk, Everything is Given. So, in getting ready for to speak here, I was still bringing a lot of those characteristics forward. I was relying on my intuition to provide certain things for me, such as the reading, such as some of what I would say, the majority of what I would say, although I would have highlighted areas. When I contemplated the Death to Knowing and really understood what that reading was speaking to me in that moment, I understood that what I was being asked to do was to let go of the need to prepare in that way. Okay, so today is an experiment for me and also a confirmation to the universe that I am truly willing to let go of what I think I know, of making preparations in order to, and I did do some root cause inquiry around why the need was there to prepare, and what it boiled down for me was really at the core sensing a difference between, like there's fundamentally a difference between what I am and what the people that I'm speaking to are. So in that way, I need to be prepared and I need to, you know, I need to do all of these things to be ready. And none of that is true. None of that is true. Everything is given in terms of what we need in order to move through or play the role that we have been called to play. So getting back to the death to knowing, after contemplating that, I understood that I needed to proceed forward. I was willing to, at that point, to proceed forward with whatever sharing that I am to do, to be empty, to allow myself to be empty enough so that the Holy Spirit can order whatever thoughts, whatever contemplations that I've done, so that Holy Spirit can simply order those up. And I also want to say thank you again to Kathy, because she was my mighty companion. Kathy was the one who let me know that this reading had already been delivered by Barb Durwater after it was transcribed. Unfortunately, I didn't hear that reading, so I wasn't aware that this had already been delivered. So this is actually not the focus of my teaching today, but I did want to incorporate some of what Chris Celine talked about in the death of knowing, because that is what led to the reading that we will actually look at here, which is You Are That by Ganga Ji. So I present myself to you today with an empty heart, with an open mind, and allowing whatever collectively, because there's nothing really that I need to, there's nothing new to be taught, right? There's no new, I'm not ever, and I haven't heard anyone bringing forth information that is completely, completely new, completely unheard of. So there's nothing new to be talked about. What we do want to continue to talk about, what we do want to continue to bring into our awareness is this belief in separation. How do we let that go? How do we live a life here on earth as in whatever role we're called to be in? We're mothers, fathers, daughters, uncles, co-workers, we have all of these roles. President, Ken just received a new role, a new title. Sanctuary director. We have all of these titles and roles. How do we participate in, offer our light to those roles while at the same time releasing any thought that we know anything about how anything will ever be, how it will ever turn out? We don't know these things, and yet we make decisions every day from a point of this invisible knowing. But let's go back here to today's reading. What Ganga Ji is sharing and pointing out, what I loved about this reading is one of the things he did right up front was he gave us this outline of what people, how we end up going through this spiritual path. We start out saying, you know, I'm not happy. I want to be happy. And that's the ego. He talks about a functioning, integrated ego there. The thought that I want to be happy comes from a developed ego. A functioning, integrated ego is what he says. So we've all discussed and are quite well aware at this point the role that the ego plays is one that prepares us to and to move from this state of ignorance to that of a state of enlightenment. The ego is there supporting us. As a matter of fact, Ganga Ji says in this article that this is immeasurably important. It's immeasurably important. So that same ego that has helped us to shift out of ignorance and into alignment with enlightenment has to still be let go. You see, for me, that's where the whole thing just, you know, it, you know, because it's the letting go of that, that everything must come to an end. And he actually talks in this article about everything coming to an end. He talks in this article about everything must be given up. And that it's a surprise that we have to stop trying to get anything, the idea of you must be given up. In order for enlightenment, in order for that process to truly reveal to you and to me and to whomever else what enlightenment truly is, the idea that I know or the thought that I think I know anything, all of that has to be given up. And again, when I was in the process of preparing to speak today, I came to that realization in a different way this time, that whatever I think I know, it has to be released. Other words, how is it that I can expect Holy Spirit to show up and guide and move things in the direction that they're supposed to go in? As Marianne Williamson says, we live in a self-organizing, self-correcting universe. And that this universe has it grows the trees, it takes a cell from being a cell into being a human being. This is the same universe that I am needing to trust to live this life, to provide me with whatever details I need, whatever, if I am to do something, if something is my thing to do, then everything I need shall be given for that thing. And that there's no need, that's where the rest, accept, and trust comes into place. Once we start from a premise that everything is given, that I will always be provided with what I need to do what I am here to do, then the rest, accept, and trust is where we are able to really be. We're able to be fully present with rest, accept, and trust because we're operating under from a place of knowing that everything is given. He also talks in this article about maturity, which I thought was interesting. He says that maturity has little to do with age or education or spiritual practice. Maturity reflects ruthless intelligence in truth-telling. The truth is that no matter how much you have enjoyed your circumstances, they haven't given us lasting fulfillment. And this ruthless intelligence in truth-telling is what is the frame of mind that we all would be better served to move into, because he talks about this delusionment that has to occur because we're going from moving in a trance-like state, believing everything that comes up. And by the way, that's what surrender is all about. It's about surrendering the beliefs, the thoughts that we have about the things that come up in our life. If we are able to surrender those thoughts and trust that everything is given, and then move into rest, accept, and trust, we would very quickly be able to see that all is well in all of creation. That nothing is missing, nothing is lacking, nothing is without, nothing is in danger of being what it's not supposed to be, because that overriding grace that is always self-correcting, self-organizing, putting every detail, everything into place, and sometimes that appears as doors closing. Sometimes that appears as I don't get my way. Sometimes that appears as an angry person showing up and saying things that you know aren't true. Sometimes this doesn't look like a smooth boat floating on a ever peaceful sea. Sometimes it doesn't look that way, but it never means that the grace that grows trees and grows babies and grows fingernails and hair follicles, it never means that that grace is not always in effect. It never means that, again, that everything won't be given in that situation. No matter what it looks like, whether it looks to your favor or against you, everything is given. And so Gangaji talks more here in this article about disillusionment and ruthless truth-telling, as I was saying there. There was a piece in Death to Knowing. I do want to go back to Death to Knowing for just one moment here. In that article, Chris Celine talked about a test for peace. She says, and I'll read here from that article, you can test yourself in any situation. If it's a possibility of opening for peace, or if it's in the direction of being disturbed and unpeaceful. In every situation, if you react or want your way to be right, even in a subtle way, just by believing that you need to be right and that something is wrong, and you want to be right in that place, you're affirming the illusion. Because in that moment, you have the divine opportunity to turn toward the power of truth. So you see, this is what all of this boils down to. It boils down to turning away from affirming more of the illusion and to stepping towards the enlightenment of opening up to truth, opening up to the truth that your worry or your knowing or your thinking that you know, and this is absolutely, this is coming through me because it is my lesson, okay? It is my hope that my lesson is relevant for you at some level in your life, but obviously this is my lesson, and I receive it as such. This whole knowing thing, there's something else that she talked about in this article, which was she talked about a basket. And what I'm led to do now is to place a basket here. This is a virtual service in a physical church. A lot of times they will pass around a basket, usually to collect funds or tithes. But I would like to right now, I'd like to sit a golden basket here in the midst of us. Because we know that through our own understanding that there's no time and space. Technically, we are joined as one in this moment. And even if you're listening to this audio at a later time, the same applies to you. So at this time, I'm placing a beautiful golden basket right here in the midst of these beloveds. And this basket is available for you to put something in that you're holding on to, that you're trusting that you know better. And if you can't think of anything that you think you know or that you think is best, that's fine. That's actually beautiful. Your presence here around the basket is still greatly needed and appreciated. But for anyone who has anything that they're holding on to and that they're thinking that they know best about, now is the time for you to place that in the basket, if you're willing. This basket will be lifted up out of this service and carried off to wherever angels take things that are no longer needed. I actually did this exercise after I contemplated the death of knowing. And if you're still putting things in the basket, that's perfectly fine. You can do that as I continue to speak here. I actually did that exercise, and the one thing that I placed in the basket was the notes that I was taking prior to my sessions here, my sharings here. I wanted to release that because one of the things that Chris Celine talked it about in her article was that true healing comes from true correction. And what is it that's possible that could be corrected or needs correction except knowing? It's really what stands in the way of correction. So for me, that really struck a nerve for me. Because if knowing, and I could certainly see how that could be possible, how thinking I know anything could stand in the way of me being corrected. And it could impede my healing, which is what this is all about for me. This sharing, any reading I do, any studying I do, it's all done for one reason, and that is for my healing. I'm not here to win any awards. I'm not running for office. I'm not, you know, I'm here for healing. And to understand fully, completely, and totally that nothing real can be threatened and that nothing unreal exists. To embody that perfect teaching from A Course in Miracles at a deep level to where it is living this life, where I am allowing that perfect grace to live this life, trusting that everything that is for me will present itself in such a way that I will know that that is the case. Trusting that everything will be provided if that is the case. And then allowing those things that are not for me, that are not my that are not on my agenda or on this greater plan, because we know that the script is written. Or we can, even if we don't know that, we certainly know that that's a possibility, that this script is written. So why would there be a need for me to allow what I think I know to get in the way of peace, to get in the way of me being present, to get in the way of my healing? And so those were the things that the shifts that occurred for me as I contemplated the death of knowing. And then as I went back and received the reading from Gangaji, he's basically saying the same thing here, that at the end of his at the end of that teaching, he says here that Ramana Maharshi was one of his teachers that instructed him to be still, to not look to the mind as a reference point of who I am or who you are. And because anything that can be revealed in stillness, as he asks the next question there, what can be said or what is revealed in stillness? That all of this, anything that's revealed to us in stillness, only points to words such as infinity, eternity, grace, self, truth, and God. Everything points to that, but nothing can actually... It's all concepts. But he says here that what we are is untouched by any idea of ignorance or enlightenment. So we can rest in that knowing, you know, that no matter what appears, what it looks like, or what's going on, what I truly am is completely untouched by any idea of ignorance or enlightenment. Completely untouched. In the process of doing and seeking and getting. And I do believe that the time of seeking and searching is coming to a head. Like, I believe that we are all collectively shifting into a space of time where we are called on to act on what we know, to be what we know to be, to really look at our thoughts about whatever, to look at any thought that is not in alignment with perfection and truth, and to release that and to stand in the knowing of what and who we are. Yeah, the time of seeking and searching is coming to a close here. And the time of being and knowing and expressing your truth is at hand. And so in order for us to be and operate in that way, there must be a willingness there to look at the thoughts that are no longer serving us and to let those go and to stand in our truth. Because as Gangaji says here, nothing has ever touched what we are. And if we begin to lean back and to relax in that knowing, and again, going back to everything is given, the rest, accept, and trust piece, to begin to live in this way. Lastly here, he says that there comes an instant when by some miraculous mysterious grace, you are struck dumb of all words, all concepts, all searching, all striving, all identification. In that moment, an instant out of time, you realize that what you really are has never been touched by any concept. This is the realization that enlightenment points to. So that miraculous, mysterious grace that he's talking about, look at what he's saying we're struck dumb of. All words, all concepts, searching, identification, that's knowing. Everything you know, which is why I placed that basket in the midst of us today, so that we can begin to let go or to at least become aware and be willing to look at what we're holding on to that may be impeding our own healing. That feels very much like everything that I'd like to say today about both of those readings. You are that, as well as the death to knowing. Again, the basket that I placed in the midst of us will be taken off to a place where things that are no longer needed go. And I know me personally, I have been watching areas of my life where really becoming aware of that thinking I know, you know, and offering my willingness to let go of that at every opportunity to let go of that. So that is all I'd like to share today. Now is the time in our service where Barb will post a link in our room. If you'd like to make a donation to Awakening Together, now is the time to do so. I'm going to ask that Lynn play us a song so that we can contemplate what has been shared today. And if you'd like to share your thoughts after this contemplation song, you would be free to do so. So I'll go ahead and release the mic and allow Lynn to play that song. Love to you all.
Here comes the sun, I'd say it's all.
would say, it's all right. Little darling, the smiles return into the faces. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. I'd say it's all right. Sun, 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 here it comes. Sun, sun, sun.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. Here comes the sun. And indeed, everything is all right. I appreciate the comments on the board. Thank you all very much. Again, it was an experiment for me, and it was also a challenge for me to lay aside the tools that I rely on, the tools that have served me in the corporate world to make sure that I'm delivering effectively. So I truly appreciate the feedback on that, because that was me and Holy Spirit just doing what we're here to do. All right, so now's the time. If anyone would like to share anything in the room, now is the time. So if you would like to share anything, you can raise your hand now. And I see Regina, and I'll release the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Gloria. I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful service, as always. So thank you very much once again. Two things that I want to share. One is when you were talking about how it's up to you to contemplate, right? That's your job, is to contemplate the things that come for you to contemplate. But it's not for you to plan how that contemplation is going to come back out of you. It's up to the Holy Spirit to order how that contemplation comes back out and how it gets shared. And that, I just want to say bingo. Like, for anyone that is still learning to teach from inspiration, that's the formula. That's it. Exactly. Bingo. In fact, the other day a friend wrote to me and said something about the guiding light, which is one of my teachings, the guiding light this week, and how fabulous that was. And she happened to text me just as I was completing my contemplation for the day. And I said, wow, I wish you were with me now. I wish you were seeing what is happening now. You know, this contemplation that is happening now is amazing. And then I said, you know, something like, I can't wait to see, you know, how this all comes back out. And that's because I don't know. I don't plan the coming back out part. I do exactly what you said. You know, my job is the contemplation. And then at some point when I'm speaking, I hear it coming back out, and it has been ordered by the Holy Spirit or ordered by spiritual wisdom, you know, it comes back out according to that formula, and it's just magnificent. So, you know, I want to write that down, you know, because I know that for some people speaking from inspiration seems to be kind of natural, just like for some people cooking is kind of natural, and for some people gardening is kind of natural. You know, we all have these natural zones. But then there are others who are learning how to. In fact, Gloria, I think you did this for me because I already know how to do this. But recently somebody was asking me how, and I said, boy, that's really hard for me to teach because it's been natural for me. And I said, when you don't learn something, when it's natural for you, it's hard to figure out how to teach it because you didn't have to learn it. And that's the way teaching has always been for me. But I think you just gave me that formula that I can now continue to pass on to others when they're saying, how do I teach from inspiration? And the answer is, your job is to contemplate. You contemplate. Don't plan how it will come back out. And then you just stand up at the mic, you open your mouth, and that contemplation will come back out. But an important part of that formula is you can't expect it to come if you don't do your job, which is the contemplation. You can't expect to take the mic and have it come out. So the contemplation is critical. So thank you for that. The other thing that I wanted to share, Dove has actually put on the board again, something I typed earlier while you were speaking, but you were talking about, you know, my way. I was watching a video of Tess Hughes the other day, and Tess Hughes was talking about how she began to deeply contemplate thy will, not mine. She was deeply contemplating this, and as she deeply contemplated this, she started noticing things. She started noticing that not everything went her way. And she said, for example, she likes to be on time. You know, you know, if you're supposed to be at somebody's house for dinner at 7, she likes to be at somebody's house for dinner at 7. And said, so there was this one night when she was going to somebody's house for dinner at 7, or I think actually 7:30. She was going to their house for dinner at 7:30 or something like that. And she was with a group of people, and when they showed up, as it turned out, the hostess was expecting them earlier, like at 7. Dinner was already on the table. Things were getting cold. And you know, she says, that wasn't my way. It wasn't my way that we have that misunderstanding and show up late. And she goes, ah, thy will, not mine. And she started noticing everything that wasn't her way, that must be thy will, because it still happened. Right? It still happened. So thy will, not mine. And then as she began to contemplate that, of course, eventually she got to the place where she realized everything is thy will, even the things that appear to be my way. But I thought, what a great, great bridge. If it didn't happen the way I would have happened, had it happened, it must have been your will. And I just love that. So, and again, you kind of touched on that today as well. So those are the two things I wanted to share. Thank you very much for letting me take the mic.
All right, and thank you so much, Regina, for sharing that. And just a quick reply to a couple of things you said there. One about the contemplation piece, and yes, and I love that that's going to be useful for you in teaching that. One thing that I want to add about that is, in order for me to get to a place where I could come to that understanding and receive that insight fully, that my job was only to contemplate and that I was to trust Holy Spirit from there to order my words, to order what needs to be said, to based on the energy that's present. In order for me to get to that point, there had to be a lot of letting go of false beliefs, such as the belief in I am bad or that I'm unworthy, because without releasing some of those beliefs, you can't come to that place. You're going to need those crutches in order to stand up and deliver from that place. So yes, it is helpful to start with that. And I know that you do a lot of work, Regina, with helping people to release those beliefs, which is one of the things that you'll be talking about during the retreat next month, which is beautiful because those I have found that those types of things were absolutely necessary in order for me to get to that point. There had to be a cleaning out, if you will, of some of the long-held beliefs that I had about worthiness, about the I am bad belief. Not that I'm completely healed of those beliefs. I'm not at all saying that, but there's certainly been enough of release there to allow this type of understanding to come forth. Hopefully that makes sense. I did see another hand up. Did anyone else wish to speak? Okay, Jay, I see your hand there, and I'll let go of the mic.
Thanks, Gloria. This is a beautiful service. I loved your thoughts about contemplation and particularly your process that you went through to move to a place where, you know, your contemplations were really doing something, you know, that you're really, it's being fruitful for you in some way. And I think that's a really important thing. You know, and it's really our inspiration that drives us to that point. And I feel that in you. I feel that in a lot of people here, that inspiration to move in that way. And for me, contemplating has been something I've really gotten into more on as a practice very seriously lately in recent time, mostly through the influence of Regina and being here part of Awakening Together. You know, and that's the same thing I find that still happens when I go to contemplate about thinking that you know, or thinking that there's a belief you have in place, when basically you're reading a quote that you are feeling like you already know, or something that you've heard 1,000 times. I have to contemplate that statement. When you love, you are love. I've heard that 1,000 times. But it's like that's the ego speaking. And what I found is that I kind of chuckle because I hear the mind. I've practiced being in that awareness long enough that I can see where the mind is coming in really clearly now. And I just move into it. And a whole new insight and a whole new, which I did not control or even try to control, a whole new insight came to me from contemplating and letting go of that thought that I know. And so it's really true what you're saying, that an entirely deeper level of insight can come to you that can be completely transforming and help the mind heal. Just like Gloria was saying, my job here is to heal. That's it. That's all we're doing here. And the practice, and what it boils down to for me, is the practice of actually meeting that thought, letting it pass through you, you know, oh my God, I've heard this 1,000 times, I already know this, and actually letting that go. That of itself is a kind of practice. So it's not about how do we get to this great insight of the contemplation, because as we're talking about, you can't control that. The whole point is you can't control that. You're not supposed to even want to control that. The practice is letting go of that thought and just letting it move through mind. That of itself, if anything, is the very most helpful thing for awakening, because that's what you're actually doing. It's a kind of reinforcing of being in awareness and letting go of the habitual thought, you know, because just as I wrote on the board earlier, I think it was in this 1500 ways to escape the human jungle, if you have an answer to a thought that's from a habitual thought, that answer is going to become the next problem. So the only way to really have an answer that's healing is to let go of that habitual, and just go back into that not knowing space, and you can't control what happens after that, and that's the whole point, is to be in that trust, be in that love. Okay, thank you. Giving up the mic.
And thank you, Jay. Yes, that Gangaji talked about that in the reading, is disillusionment, and also what you were saying, to do that would that's where the belief in separation comes from, and we perpetuate that belief if we're not willing to do exactly what you were just saying there. And Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Gloria. And what a timely talk this morning. It really is just time now for inspiration. It's time now for all of us, you know, especially me, for to stop listening to the ego voice and only listen for the voice for God, as it says in the third lesson of the Holy Spirit in A Course in Miracles, that we need to be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. And that, to me, means that we're not looking for anything else. So that makes it really simple then whenever I'm trying to make a decision as to what and how to operate, what to say, what to do. You kind of alluded to the beautiful prayer in A Course in Miracles that says, I'm here only to be truly helpful, and I'm here to represent the Christ or Him who sent me. You know, it's not just a prayer. It's a statement of purpose. And this is what you're talking about. It's a statement of purpose. I'm only here to be truly helpful and to represent the Christ. That's it. And so I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do. I don't have to worry about what to hear and what to think. Because He who sent me will direct me. He's not going to just guide me. He's going to direct me. And I'm content to be here wherever He wishes. Because He's here with me, and I can heal now. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. And this is what you're talking really about, is becoming a true healer of the split mind. And so I loved your talk, and I feel so empowered. I honestly feel very empowered by your grace here. So thank you so much, Rev Gloria.
Thank you, and namaste, Lynn. I do see one other hand up, and I will release the mic.
Good morning, everyone. Morning, Gloria. Loved it. Loved your sharing. Beautiful. I love that exercise, which is so, so helpful. Also, what I do instead of the golden basket, I have a golden bowl of light. And I put all my whatever comes up, I stuff it into that bowl of light. And then I send it into the light of the Holy Spirit. And as it reaches the light of the Holy Spirit, He just zaps it and changes it all for His will. So His will is done, not mine. I'm only responsible for my side of the street, cleaning my side of the street. The rest is taken care of by my higher power, the way I understand Him. And God goes with me wherever I go, every moment. And I bless everything that crosses my path. For He is in charge by my request. I let it all go because I do not know what anything is for. And changes are happening because I'm just surrendering everything to God. I place my future, my now, right here, right now, into the hands of God. Because He knows what to do, and I do not. Yep, God goes with me wherever I go. I place all my denials, all my fears, whatever. Place everything. And listen. Listen in the silence. Intuitively, I know how to handle situations that used to baffle me. Okay? And that is the truth, and I love it, and I love the promises. Iris knows about those. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to God that I am where I am this moment now. This is the only instant that is true. Everything else is either past or it hasn't occurred. Right here, right now, I am perfectly cared for, like Dove says. God bless you all and thank you.
All right, and thank you. I do believe that was Cindy, if I'm not mistaken. So thank you so much for sharing your practice with us as Christina. Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. That was Christina speaking. And so thank you so much for sharing your practice. And I think that will complete our service for today. I want to leave you all with just two reminders, actually. One, thy will be done, not mine. And number two, everything is given. So we are free to place our future in the hands of God. Love to you all, and do stick around for Fellowship Hour with Lynn. Namaste.
Quiet silent seconds, I turned up the light switch and I came down to meet you in the half light the moon left while a cluster of nightjars sang some songs out of tune. A mantle of bright light shone down from a room. Come down in time, I still hear her sing so clear in my ear, like it was today. Come down in time was the message she gave. Come down in time. Should have heard her yet, but a true love like hers is a hard love to get. And I walk most all the way, and I ain't heard her call, and I'm getting to thinking, is she coming at all? Down in time, I still hear her sing so clear in my ear, like it was today. I'm down in time was the message she gave. I'm down in time. There are women, women, and some hold you tight while some leave you counting the stars in the